Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome everybody to From Misalignment to Momentum. I'm incredibly excited that you are here. Here's what we're thinking about today. When we talk about the idea of sales and marketing alignment, goodness gracious alive, it is a tale as old as time. And I don't think I have fully solved it. Obviously, if I had, I would make way more money. But I think we've got some really great data that supports why we're typically misaligned. I think we're going to actually shift the perspective for many marketers on thinking through like what does sales actually want. The other component is this is the constant battle of like, should we build the brand or should we build the pipeline? Demand generation versus demand capture, activation versus brand. Like that's the constant argument. So how do we balance the two? It's also how to operationalize the partnership. And then last, and my favorite actually, is specifically sales compensation. So that is what we're thinking through today. Here's actually get the most out of the session. Message your team and say, I'm in a session on sales and marketing alignment and ABM. Do we have any questions? I can guarantee that many of your team members have questions. They just aren't able to join in today. That's totally fine. So I would go ahead and just ask people, like, what are we struggling with? If we cannot answer all of your questions today, they will be in the comments of this thread. We will follow up and actually answer all your questions. So again, if you're watching this back later, please drop comments. We're monitoring this and we want to answer all your questions as best we can. Next is, as you're listening through this quick chat, write down any points that resonate with you and then start to ask yourself the question, like, well, why? Like, why did that point hit home for me? Like, why, when Mason said this, like, why did that hit my soul? That why is likely a reason your teams aren't aligned. So then as you ask questions for yourself, not separate from your team, but for yourself, you'll ask questions. Be selfish. Ask really pointed, really tactical, really specific questions. A lot of what we're going to talk through is helpful frameworks and helpful thought processes. But like, you have to take this information and apply it to yourself. So if you want help doing that, please ask really selfish questions. That's how you're going to get the absolute most out of the session. By the way, hi, I'm Mason Cosby. First a Christian, then a husband, then a father. So this is my family. They're beautiful. My daughter is objectively the cutest little girl in the whole wide world. She gets it all from her mom. So that's who I am in a nutshell. I also run a company called Scrappy ABM. I've personally sourced about $15 million since 2022 at about a 16x ROI. So this is not all lofty thought leadership. I have been in the trenches. I am still in the trenches building out programs. Our organization builds our clients' first successful account-based marketing program. We teach them how to own it, and then we graduate them when they're ready. And our goal is essentially just to equip our clients to be successful without us. I start every client conversation with, you will fire us, and that's a good thing, because the goal is enablement. So hopefully that's what you're here to get today, is to be enabled on how to be successful in your sales and marketing partnership. So that begs the question, why are we misaligned with sales? Here are the three reasons why we're misaligned. One, different goals. We were talking with a new client of ours. They're about $300 million, and they are standing up their ABM program. And we were breaking down how the goals are different for marketing versus sales. Marketing has one big like SAO goal, but they have four, now five, different sales teams. And the goals for marketing don't align with the sales SAO goals. So like the sales teams built their own SAO goals. So sales accepted opportunities goals. And then the marketing team built one separate big SAO goal. So like, that's a problem. So like we have different goals. So marketing literally can hit its goals and get its bonus. And like sales didn't get the opportunities they needed. Huge problems. So that's one. Second, miscommunication. We are speaking a different language. So another example, marketing will say, hey, sales, we generate like all these leads. And the sales is going to say like, well, these leads suck and we need more leads. So what is marketing going to go do? Generate more leads. Well, both of them are saying the word lead, but like, do we know what a lead is in this context? Sometimes when leads happen for marketing, that's like a content download. And what sales often means when we use the word lead in the sales world is like, I need meetings, like on my calendar. So like, I want more people to want to talk to me. So if sales is saying, I need more leads, and then marketing goes and generates more contacts in the database. And it's like, so we did it. Of course, sales is going to be ticked off. because you got a bunch of emails and they wanted meetings. So again, there's miscommunication. I want to be super clear. Obviously, marketing should go generate great contact information. It is a part of the job. But like, if sales is asking for something and you tell them you got them that something, and then you didn't get them that something from their perspective, miscommunication. That's it. And the last piece, which we'll talk about like probably a lot, because I'm actually really passionate about it. These other two topics I feel like are covered on a lot. But compensation is like huge. And I just don't see people talk about it. Of like, how do we actually incentivize sellers to work with us? So anyway, that is what we're talking through. And that's why we're misaligned. And I'm seeing some comments come in. So yeah, lack of communication between the two. So I think that comes right back to that miscommunication piece. Different incentives and teams working in silos. Yeah, compensation, different goals. Expectations are not clear. Measurement is not aligned with reality. Goals are different. So first, thank you, Nicole, Anthony, and Phil for the engagement. Appreciate it. Sounds like we're all talking through the same stuff. So let's figure out how to solve it. That begs the question, like, what are the goals of sales? Not crazy. Meetings on the calendar, qualified opportunities moving through the pipeline, opportunities that close. That's it. Like, as I talk with sellers, and I've got my sales guy here, Jim, in the chat. As you're talking with Jim, Jim is like, that sounds like a dream. I want meetings with people. I want them to be qualified, and I want them to move, and I want them to close. That's it. And this is the other thing that I think a lot of marketers miss is like, what's the time horizon for a salesperson? It's days. So again, I'm gonna be super clear. I manage both our marketing team and our sales team. So I'm gonna talk about it from both perspectives. I met with Jim this morning to talk through what are we doing today, right now, that needs time, energy, effort, and attention for our pipeline. We also meet at the beginning of the week to look at the week and say, like, what are we doing to move these deals from one stage to the next? And then lastly, it's quarters. So quarters would just be, do I have enough pipeline to actually hit the goal for this quarter? You could also look at that in months, depending on how your organization is set up. But it's like, typically, I'm using the word typically, sales is focused on the next like 3 months, because that's how we live and breathe. That's where our bonuses come. So when sales is thinking about days, weeks, and quarters, there's not that long of a time horizon for them to think about. And some marketers are like, well, yeah, they just have to think like longer term. To which I asked the question, like, when was the last time you actually looked at your salesperson's calendar? Because when I made this presentation with Exit 5 back in September, I'm going to be clear, I've updated some of the content, but like, this was actually my week. All the things you see in dark blue are meetings or are me actively building a proposal. This is not call research. This is not prospecting efforts. This is not even like back and forth emailing. This is like 17 and a half hours of active sales calls where I have to be live on a camera or building the proposal because they asked for the proposal and I want to get them a 24 hour turnaround time. So like, this is an awesome week for a salesperson. What I also find to be incredibly interesting for many people that they haven't looked at a salesperson's calendar in a minute is when I looked at 2 weeks later, I had one 45-minute sales conversation. That's hard. Like, I don't know if you've been in a sales role in a minute or if you've looked at your salesperson's calendar, but like logging in on a Monday morning to look at the week and to see, oh, I've got one meeting or I have no meetings. It's hard. It's infuriating. It's frustrating. It gets you worried about your job. It gets you worried about your ability to provide for your family. Like, there's a lot of weight that comes with an empty calendar. So I want to give that picture because I think when we talk about sales and marketing alignment, we don't often talk about, well, why is sales so frustrated? Like, why is sales so upset? It's because the time horizon is different. And when we think about marketing, what's the time horizon for marketing? It's typically months. So like, I'm looking at what are the initiatives that I'm launching this month. And like, I actually took a couple of months. We launched a newsletter back in October and like we took 2 months to plan that. This webinar series, which side note, it's a series. We'll talk about that more at the end. We've been planning this webinar series for like 2 months. We've been planning this for months. So like, that's my time horizon. It's like, what have I got to get done this month to move the program forward? Next would be quarters. Like, we've got a quarterly initiative to launch different specific programs every single quarter. So like, I'm thinking, what's the program initiative for next quarter? In case you're wondering, it's like a lot more video content. So like, we're putting in place the structures and the processes that create the time and space to create a lot more educational deep dive video content like this.
And lastly, it's years. I'm thinking about the inevitable transition of Scrappy ABM to a different brand. Maybe the market is shifting. So like, we own a couple of different URLs and domains if we need to rebrand. So like, I'm thinking about our market position. And like, when I think about it from this perspective, and when we talk about it from that time horizon perspective, typically, and I say typically, the hardest deadline that marketing may face, unless there's a complete like PR disaster, which is a whole separate conversation, typically the biggest thing that we face is like, I need something done end of week, or if it's super pressing, it's end of day. I've messaged Jim four times, my AE, four times in the past 4 hours asking where a proposal is. And he and I have been back and forth editing it. I'm messaging him. I'm like, I need this end of hour. That is a different time horizon that creates a different sense of urgency and to some extent scarcity that sometimes we as marketers don't experience. I'm about to say, it's like, Mason, I thought you were a marketer. I thought you were on our side. I am. I'm giving a different perspective. So I promise it comes back around. Because you're probably thinking, I'm so slammed and strapped for bandwidth. And you're right. Like, we do so much. What all is marketing doing? Everything. I mean, it feels like we don't have enough hands in the day. We need to like be like an octopus with like eight arms to actually like get all this stuff done. So I hear you. There is so much that you're working on. And you never have enough time in the day to actually get it all done. But that then begs the question, what is actually contributing to sales goals? And again, from a marketer's perspective, all of us, this builds the brand. It gets awareness out there. It builds the pain. It frames our product as a solution. It then helps people understand the viability of that solution in their unique context. And then from there, when they're actually ready to like book the meeting, it's an easy sale. And to be clear, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. From sales perspective, though, what's contributing when the pipeline is empty? It might be email, might be events if we do a good job. It might be paid search for conversion-based search, might be paid social, might be a webinar like this, but like for sure referral programs that get me meetings on the calendar right now from referrals, for sure sales enablement that's accelerating my pipeline, for sure outbound support that's getting me more meetings on the calendar, and for sure managing the website to make it easy to book a meeting. So if pipeline is empty because the time horizon is different, and sales looks at our teams as marketing doing all these things that they don't feel like actually contributes to pipeline, of course they're going to be misaligned. Like, and I hear you. We need to build the brand because like if we build the brand, everything gets better. So like we have to do this like influencer partnership and like this podcast. And again, couldn't agree more. I think building the brand through influencers and through podcasting is a great way to build pipeline. But just have you fill the pipeline now? And I get it. Like building brand will build pipeline. I couldn't agree more. But like it's a pipeline filled right now. Well, we hit our MQL goals, which is awesome. I'm super happy. But like, did that fill the pipeline? Well, we're seeing incredible target account engagement right now, which is awesome. But did you fill the pipeline? We're seeing this massive spike in our LinkedIn follower count, which is awesome. But like, did we fill the pipeline? Well, our website traffic is through the roof, which is awesome. Did we fill the pipeline? And some of you hate me right now, and I promise I'll bring it back around. Because yes, like marketing absolutely needs to think long-term. I could not fundamentally agree more. For those of you that have been following my journey, like I have been building in public around ABM for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years before launching Scrappy. Like this business has only been around for like 20 months. We're coming up on 2 years. Like that was long-term thinking. So I hear you. The challenge is if the long-term doesn't get here, if the short-term doesn't deliver. And from my experience working both in-house and with our clients, like it's really funny. Nobody really asks like all the details and the nuances of what our team is delivering on as long as like pipeline keeps being generated through our programs. But like when we see a pipeline dip, clients are like, tell me every detail of everything you're working on. Because like if pipeline is full and people are getting the results that they're looking for, you don't tend to get as many questions. Like when I've been internal and our pipeline was like filled, I got to do awesome, really cool brand things. And like right now, when our pipeline is filled, we focus like way more on longer term brand building things because marketing can do whatever it wants when the pipeline is full. So my recommendation, and some of you are going to, again, you're going to hate me, but I promise I'll bring it back around. We have to acknowledge that the alignment challenge is marketing's fault. Some of you just logged off, but I stay around for like 30 more seconds. I do think we have a hand in it. And like in actual like practice, of course, it's not all marketing's fault. Everybody has got a hand in this. But if we blame other people, it's not helpful. Like if I just say it's all sales' fault, okay. And like, what do I do with that? Am I just hopeless and helpless to do my own job? And I should probably just start looking for a new job because it's all sales' fault. I can't do anything about it. Like if that's right, you should look for a new job because you're not going to fix it. But if you accept fault, it's actually within our control to fix. So I'm not saying that sales doesn't have a hand, that leadership doesn't have a hand, that CS and operations and everybody. The alignment challenge is typically not any one department's fault. But if you can own it, you make it something within your control to fix. And that is exponentially better than anything else I've tried to do. It's just taking ownership and fixing it. So most of this information is based in this research that was done by Fields and Bennett. If you haven't ever seen this chart, go Google brand building versus sales activation. I love this framing because it is super intensively researched and data backed, which is in the short term, sales activation dominates. I didn't make this chart. I copied and pasted this from Google Images. After an intensive deep dive research study, the actual words used were short-term effects dominate in a six-month time horizon. So if you need pipeline right now, you need to build sales activation programs. And I'll walk you through some simple ones you can go build right now. The challenge is, and every one of us has worked in an organization, it is feast or famine constantly. You never know where the next deal is going to come from. So you're constantly just like throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks to generate the pipeline. It's exhausting. It's super hard. And that is sales activation. Like that is what that is. And you can see it. It's the volatility of the pipeline. But you need the pipeline to like build the long-term brand because brand doesn't super take effect until like 6 to 12 months in. So I actually view this as an 18-month roadmap of like, what do we do the first six? What do we do the next 12? That's how we build the brand. So here are your goals to actually drive alignment. Build pipeline today. Get the breathing room to then build the brand. Communicate timelines and consequences. Don't throw blame, accept fault, and then categorize problems versus opportunities. I am blatantly stealing this problems versus opportunities thing from Alex Hormozi. If you don't know who that is, I highly recommend you look it up. He's got great business content. Some of it's about marketing, but it's a lot of business stuff. But this was super helpful for me from a framing perspective because like there's a lot of problems in every organization, but there's also a ton of opportunities. And as somebody myself that gets really distracted by shiny objects, it's really easy to get super distracted and like build all these things. And another phrase that I've stolen from him is that businesses typically die because of half built bridges. It's like we start a lot of things, we never finish them. And as a result, we never see the impact. So when you look at everything that you could be doing, is this a problem or is this an opportunity? And to quickly outline problems, close rates. Like we had a client that came in that was like, we got to generate 3x pipeline from what we're doing right now. And we got to activate all these different channels. And I was like, okay, like, but do you feel like you're getting good pipeline from a fit perspective? And they're like, yeah, like great fit customers. They're coming inbound. We're doing a great job getting the pipeline in. I was like, awesome. It's like, what's the problem? They're like, well, you know, we have a 4% close rate. Like, and I'm summarizing a 45-minute conversation into 45 seconds. But when they shared with me, they had a 4% close rate. I was like, I can guarantee it will be easier to 3x your close rate than it will be to 3x your pipeline. Like, that's the problem. And sure, there are opportunities to create more pipeline through all these different channels. But like, you have current channels that deliver well. The problem is you can't close. So like, fix that. And then as a result, you fix a lot of the business. Sorry, I get passionate about that one specifically. So there's going to be a lot of words on this. You should message our team and actually just get this script so you can steal it. But I like to lead with empathy and authority. I've also stolen this from StoryBrand. Again, everything I just outlined on the front end was to try to help you have some empathy for sales. So when you lead in things like, I know we need pipeline right now. Like you eliminate that sales thinks, marketing thinks that our pipeline isn't a problem. It's like, I know we need this. Great. We're on the same page on that front. We're aligned. All right. What's next? Marketing has been primarily focused on building the brand, which like takes time and it's not generating an immediate pipeline, which is fine. That happens. We can do things that will fill the pipeline right now, which be clear. I'll talk you through in like 3 slides what you can do. Everybody can do it. Hesitations though. damaged brand reputation, weakened audience trust. And then the big killer is that you actually do deliver in the short term, and the board or your executive team is like, awesome, we did it once, we can do it again. And you like shot your shot to get the pipeline in the short term, and then they raise the goals on you. So like that is a non-starter for this to even remotely possibly ever potentially work. And for some of you, that is a non-starter at your jobs. So like, I'm sorry, but you've got to shift an organization, which means things have to be different from how we've done them previously. So those are the hesitations. But if we're aligned on doing some short-term programs that build pipeline, here are the recommendations. Next 6 to 9 months, we will have pipeline volatility. It will be feast or famine, and we know that going in. I can't undo the lack of a brand that we have right now. What I can do is help us get through the storm. Once we've actually established some foundational playbooks, we can then transition into a more balanced approach. Because long-term, as we all saw, building the brand like crushes. It just takes longer. So you have to meet the short-term and then give yourself the breathing room so that you have sustainable growth, easier pipeline generation, faster deals, and higher close rates. Cool? Cool. So here's your ask. You need a consistent pipeline goal for the next 18 months. With a consistent goal, you, marketer, I, will dedicate 60-70% of marketing's time and budget to directly building repeatable sales activation programs in the next 6 months. Core phrasing here, repeatable. These playbooks will be always on, and programmatic playbooks that should prioritize the sales outreach. So these are not Hail Mary one-time efforts. These are programmatic, repeatable processes that just help prioritize where sales is focusing to have the highest opportunity and likelihood of getting a meeting on the calendar. That's it. Once we have these playbooks running, we will rebalance marketing's budget allocation to focus 60% on brand building and 40% on sales activation. In case you're wondering, where did you pull that? That is what the research from Fields and Bennett recommends. It's like way more data backed than anything that I could tell you, but that is where the appropriate budget allocation is for sustainable ongoing growth. 40% is demand capture, 60% is demand generation, or however you want to frame it. Through this transition, sales should then start to own, maintain, and optimize their playbooks. And the goal of marketing is to then build educational programs that shift perspectives, frame the problem, and position the brand as the solution. If you want an example, I expect zero sales from this webinar. Like, maybe we get a couple. Sorry, Jim. But like, we have a solid pipeline. We've got good pipeline playbooks. This is a brand play right here, right now. I'm educating that hopefully I shift your perspective on how to better align with sales. Hopefully I frame the problems in a way that are massively beneficial. And by the way, if you want to help doing it, we can help you. But like, that's not the main goal of this. So if you want to see this in practice, I'm doing it right now. Like, this is it. So when done well, sales will only start to reach out to warmer and warmer audiences that have a higher likelihood of wanting to speak to us right now. I can guarantee every single one of you, I want to be super clear, you will hear from Jim giving me our playbooks. I'm so sorry to our marketing and sales team that worked so hard on this. You'll hear from Jim. The ask won't be for a meeting. It won't be. It'll be content. It'll be help. It'll be guidance. It'll be support, because that's what we want to do. That's the brand that we're building, is a helpful brand that guides marketers through the program of implementing their first ABM framework successfully. Whether you work with us or not, that is how you sustainably build a company. But you only get to do that if you have pipeline right now that actually will feed your family, will feed your sales team's families. That's it. So, sorry. I get really passionate about that one. Once everybody's bought in, you can start building out some playbooks. Yeah, would love some playbooks to be shared. I'm about to share a lot of them. These are all different efforts from prospecting, opportunities, and customers. These are kind of the three main categories. So like website re-engagement, industry news that updates, champion tracking for people that are no longer at your company. This is what User Gems primarily does as context. If you want a poor man's way of doing it, if you send out a monthly email newsletter or a weekly newsletter, look at the bounced email addresses. If they have a hard bounce, you can filter that in your CRM. You can see people that are no longer at your company or at their company. Crazy. They may have gotten laid off, so that doesn't necessarily mean they have a new job, but like, you can help them land a new job. And you know who really wants to buy from you when you help them out? Are people that like landed a job because of you. So that's how you build an evangelist for life. That was a free one. Did that for like 60 people in the past 3 years. It's crazy how impactful that is. Event activation. You're going to an event with like a room full of your target accounts. You should probably try to pre-book some meetings. Probably should have some scripts and some processes in person for how you manage these different conversions in person. And this is a huge gap from a training perspective, because there's a lot of SDRs that like have only been going to an event for like the past year, but they did online selling because of COVID. It's like, I'm still seeing a massive gap that people literally don't have not have professional in-person conversations. So huge opportunity if you can train on events. Competitor rip and replace approach. There are tons of providers that can get you some great data pretty easily. Now, second party partner data. If you've got a partner, like build out a journey for what the customers will experience as problems and be a part of the journey. Missed meetings. Like we talk about show rate and then we just say like, oh yeah, our show rate's incredible. It's like 80%. Cool. What's the process to re-engage that 20? You probably won't get all 20, but like you're just, people got to like the 1 yard line and we just leave them and we brag about our 80% show rate. Like get the 20. Sorry. We think about opportunities. Lost deals, stalled deals. So people that like get sold out in legal, how are we proactively accelerating them? Reactively accelerating them. Deal multi-threading, like single-threaded deals die most of the time. Whereas you know it's a real deal if there's like four or five people involved on the meetings. So like, what are your scripts to get more people involved in the deal? And then lastly, deal acceleration. If you know that we get stuck here or stalled out here, what are we doing to accelerate that? We've seen this happen so many times with clients on like a trial stage. So they'll just like offer their clients a trial in the sales process. So like, all right, well, let's check it in 4 weeks. And then they check in 4 weeks later and like they didn't even use the trial. So they do another trial and another 4 weeks go by. So like they end up losing a quarter in the sales process to just get people to do the trial. So that's opportunities. And lastly, it's customers. It's like referral programs. You have happy customers, you shouldn't have an NPS. Like the NPS question is like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to refer a coworker or colleague to your business? If they rate you a 9 or a 10, they're saying, I will refer you. And we don't do anything with that information. We make it like hypothetical, but like they're telling you, I'll refer people to you. It's like, activate on that. Upsell motions. Like, here's the upsell program. Super quick, write it down. Every customer comes in because they have a problem and they bought your solution, but often they don't know all the ways that you can help them, all the solutions you offer. It's like map out a journey for your customers that you guide them through step by step by step. And then when they hit a milestone, you celebrate the milestone and say, awesome. Well, now that you're here, you need this. And then you can like soft toss it to them. And then if you've already delivered, they typically actually buy. It's crazy when you like are prescriptive and help customers through their journey. You've seen your customers' problems hundreds, if not thousands of times. They've seen it once. That's why they're working with you. So like, proactively tell them how to solve their problems and then associate a price tag to it. That's an upsell motion. Internal turnover. Like this is super helpful for retention. Or the other thing is, well, that's a separate playbook. I'll talk about that later. You can ask me about that in the messages and I'll tell you some other internal turnover playbooks you can run on your customers. And the website re-engagement. I'll tell you real quick, unless you have a login on your website, your customers almost never come back to your website once they bought from you. So if they're back on your website, that's super interesting. You should figure out what to do with that information by looking at the pages that they're looking at. Say like, oh, they might be looking at a different product. Last thing, and then I'm going to move on to the next slide. Winbacks. Tons of customers have left you since 2020 because there's been constant turnover. There's been constant budget cuts. There have been some budget increase. Like budgets and job and headcount and turnover has been bananas in the past 5 years. So like you can probably go back and win some customers that worked with you at one point, and you can use that and say, like, we worked with you. And we were missing this functionality. And as a result, because, you know, budgets got tight, we had to do this thing. We have this functionality now. Are you still struggling with this problem? Yes or no? And if they're not, that's fine. But like, there's a high likelihood that they might still be struggling with that problem because they've had so much turnover. So like, re-engage them. Sorry, there's a lot of information. And I get really specifically passionate about that because this is the easiest and fastest way to generate a pipeline that gives you breathing room to actually go build your brand long-term. That's where I want you to get. I want you to build brand because that's like how you truly scale a business. But you just have to get the breathing room right now. So here are my top recommendations because most of you have all of this data right now where it's relatively easy to get. So like website re-engagement on a weekly basis. Like that's a weekly playbook that you can run. There's a ton of free website de-anonymization tools that you can just download and like use. The only thing is IT and security teams. So like if your IT and security team will approve it, that's fine. Just don't use this playbook and like use something else. Champion tracking. I already walked through how to do this in the poor man's way. Like you can use this in your current tech stack. Event activation. Build some processes to engage people before you actually take off. And I think about it in this way. I want to have like 40 to 60% of my meetings booked before my flight takes off. Because if I can, on that basis, know, right, based on my standard conversion rates and actually meeting with the right people, this event will ROI. It's really easy to go more events and get more meetings when, like, you have a solid playbook and you can showcase, well, I got all these meetings before the event started. I'm good to go. And if you want a real secret hack, like, buy the ticket last minute. Like, just say to people, I'm going, or I'm planning on being there. And if you don't get enough meetings, just don't go and say, like, I'm so sorry, something came up. It's an easy way to save money. Missed meetings. Again, we were talking about that. Dead leads. Tons of leads in your current database that, like, showed a lot of interest, may have MQL'd at one point. This is my lowest priority. But if you need a playbook, this is just a prospecting effort. And it is prospecting. It is the lowest conversion of this list. But the likelihood that somebody in your database knows that you exist is exponentially higher than someone that doesn't know that isn't in your database. It's not a guarantee, but it's significantly higher. So those are the prospecting efforts. As far as opportunities, everybody go build a closed loss program. Just do it. Like, and make it repeatable and focus on vertical plus objections. If you can just overcome their past objection, you end up creating a clear reason to reach out that is also time-based. And you can just run this every month or every quarter. We just did this and we re-engaged 35 lost deals. And guess what? We had 5 people actually take us up on the offer. And we've been doing that for like 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we re-engaged, what is that, 20-ish percent? That's pretty cool. And for us, again, our goal is 16 meetings on a monthly basis. So we got 5 from a closed loss program. That's like 25% of a goal from like one program in like 3 emails. We've got like 4 more going out. That's insane. And then lastly, customers, like, build a referral program based on your NPS results. They're telling you they want to refer you business. Make it easy. And then lastly, do a customer win back program. Like, filter through all your lost customers and figure out where you actually want to re-engage. That's the high level. There's a lot of questions in the comments. We will do Q&A at the end. Sorry, I just got on a roll. And hopefully this brings up a couple more questions. As you think through, how do you actually structure these playbooks? We have a 4D framework. So the 4Ds are data, distribution, destination, and direction. As you think about data, data is simply like who we're going after and why we're reaching out. So all of these are triggers. They're why you're reaching out. You then marry that with good targets, and you have a good reason with good accounts that you would want to reach out to. And then the goal is to marry those two things together to create highly personalized, nuanced, and specific messaging. That's data. Next would be distribution. So distribution is just simply, how do we actually get in front of these people? So this could be an ad program. It could be a webinar like this. It could be LinkedIn organic. It could be an outbound sequence. It can be any number of things. But these are just, how do we get in front of people? Next is destination. So destination is just, what are we actually sending them towards? So it's the content that educates them today on why they would want to take the next step in their journey towards potentially becoming our customer. And lastly is direction. Direction is just simply, how do we plan to track it? So at a high level, this is the 4D framework. Doing a TLDR version of this, targets plus triggers creates personalized messaging. Distribution is just, how do we plan to get in front of people? Destination is, what are we sending them towards to get more information? And then direction is, how do we track it? Nicole, I see your question in the comments. I'm going to go ahead and answer this one super quick. What are NPS results? Net promoter score. So you survey your customers and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to refer us over to other people? And if they rate you a 6 or below, that's actually a detractor. So they are not happy customers. If it's a 7 or 8, they're neutral. If it's 9 or 10, they're a promoter. So they like love you. And the goal is to have a high NPS, and it's a super sensitive scoring metric. So it's not just 0 to 100. It's actually -100 to +100. So like incredible brands like Chick-fil-A, I think, have like in the 40 on their NPS score. So it's a super sensitive metric. So if you have a high NPS score, it's a great sign that you actually have like a really killer brand. So anyway, high level on that front. That then makes a question. Okay, how do we actually do this? Well, if you map out the 4Ds, which is a side note, Jim will follow up. We actually have a planning template that we'll send over to you so you can map this out. So again, thank you for being here. But you map out who you're going after, why you're reaching out, what you plan to say to them, and then operationally how you would actually execute. It's like, what are your different channels and what are your tracking capabilities? And you can also align in this the destination, which is just what content we have available right now that could speak to this audience. The main goal of week one is to actually align the strategy. So just like, what are we actually doing? From there, you get into week two. Because in week one, you'll identify all your gaps. And in week two, you actually start to fill in those gaps. So I think about content through the lens of both distribution contents. Like, if you're going to run an ad program, you need creative, you need copy. It's like, what are we actually sending in those channels? If you're doing outbound email, you need these outbound emails. So that's all content. And then destination is like, what are we actually sending people to? Like, where are we actually wanting them to go? So the goal of week two is to build out this content. For some of you, are like, building out content in like a week, that sounds insane. It's a little bit fuzzy. So at the end of the day, if you can figure out what you need in week one, the goal is to try to get this in market by the end of week four. So some of you may have content constraints. What we've seen is it's easier to typically start content than it is to do the opposite of things. So anyway, from there, week three is specifically ops and testing. So we want to make sure everything is hooked up, that we've got all the right workflows in place, and then we are effectively dashboarding the program. And then lastly, it's just a final review and a new launch. It's like, if you follow this process, you can actually try to get something in market on a monthly basis. If that sounds like a ton of work, I'm going to be super clear. It is. And we're actually offering this exclusively to this webinar. 3 playbooks in 3 months for 30K. So we normally charge 45, but if you want help building these out, just email Jim at ScrappyABM. I'm going to be super clear. This is for people who have more budget than time. It's like, if you have the time, I'll actually walk you through exactly how to build all of this. But if you've got 30,000 and you want to get 3 playbooks in market in the next 3 months, that should generate significantly greater pipeline. You should be good to go. The easy, quick math for you to do is, if you have 2 million in pipeline right now, anticipate that 20% of that pipeline could come back into your pipeline based on a closed loss program, at which point you have $400,000 in pipeline. Super quick back of the napkin math. But if you think about it from that perspective, if your close rates are decently solid, the closed loss program pays for everything, and then you run this forever, and it should run on a quarterly basis or a weekly or a monthly basis. So again, 3 playbooks for 3 months in 3 months for 30K. Just email Jim at scrappyabm.com and with the subject line of build me 3 playbooks. If you have more time than budget, don't worry, we've got you covered. I'm made a full masterclass with User Gems. It is 3 hours. It is completely free. You just put in your email address for User Gems, and I walk you through in excruciating levels of detail everything that we would do for you and how to build this program on your own, with a few examples based in some pretty standard data that is seen across most of our customers. So again, more time than budget. You can do all of this on your own. Like, there is no secret sauce. It's just step by step. So hopefully that's helpful as you're thinking through building out some of these playbooks on your own to help better align your sales team. So as I think through everything, like, that's the very tactical components. So we're going to come up for air. If you've got questions on any of that, go ahead and drop them. I see Aiden in the comments saying the lag. So I know that there's a pretty significant lag here. Forgive me. That's why we're doing Q&A at the end. Now it comes time to actually talk about money. I think about this from the lens of talking about being aligned on business objectives. So most marketing teams would say, we have a marketing program that is aligned on business objectives. And the goal of our marketing program is to help align with the vision and the objectives of the business as a whole. I think every marketing program would claim that. I don't think every sales leader would say the comp plan was built in such a way that it would incentivize sellers to take actions that align with the vision and objectives of the business. I think everyone would say that. The challenge is that marketing programs and sales comp plans often still don't align. So the way I think through it is that if a comp plan that is aligned with business objectives and a marketing plan that is aligned with business objectives, sorry, if you have a comp plan that aligns with business objectives and you have a marketing plan that aligns with the business objectives and sales isn't incentivized to close the opportunities that marketing is delivering, either marketing or sales or probably both aren't aligned on business objectives. Like, you cannot have a marketing plan aligned to business objectives and a sales comp plan aligned to business objectives that aren't aligned with one another. But it just doesn't make any sense. Which is where I then typically beg the question of, like, when we make claims, like, as an ABMer, I see ABMers make this claim all the time. You know, I'm super excited to help our sellers build an ABM program that will make them more money. And I asked 150 marketers live who knows how their sales team makes money. And only 2 people knew how their sales team made their commissions. It's like, when we claim things like working with us will make you more money, but we don't know, it's intellectually dishonest and it erodes trust. So, like, I don't need to know all the details of the sales comp plan. And sometimes it changes, unfortunately, on a pseudo frequent basis. But I need to know, for our ABM program, what's the commission? Is it a flat fee? Is it a percentage? Is it volume based on the number of deals? Is it based on a high deal value? Like, what is it that incentivizes them to focus their time, energy, and effort on a specific deal? Is it the, like, vertical? Is it the people that are typically involved? Like, what is it that gets people to actually buy? And then as a result, gets our salespeople paid? And again, some of you are thinking, my sales team will never tell me that information. I don't need you to know all the details. We need to know high level. You don't have to say, how do you make your commissions? You could say, what gets you to focus on specific deals over other deals? Like, there's 1,000 ways you can ask this question, and you still get the same answer. From there, that then begs the question, have you done the math with them? Like, and again, you may not have this information. Surprise, surprise. ABM is a cross-functional initiative for a reason. Like, you may not have all this information, but if you can figure out how to do the math with them on the program and you can show them you'll actually make more money, that's a huge win. Because then, does the math work out as compared to working on other programs? Because if the math works out, you're in a really, really great spot. If it doesn't, and what you have built is truly aligned to business objectives, there needs to be a sales comp plan change. And the last question is just like, do they reach President's Club with you? For some, I'm really intentional about compensation and the framing here, because when we think about the framing of compensation, we often jump directly to money. And yes, the money is a thing. Also, people want status. Like, they want to have the trip to Paris where they take the photo in the background with the Eiffel Tower to show off to all their friends and family and to like kind of just say like, I did it. But for other people, there's a client of ours named Sales Screen that actually does sales gamification. And part of it is like incentives for doing specific things. And you can actually, like, in the thing that they made a couple of videos about it, of like the CEO going to get coffee for the sales team. And like, maybe your salesperson wants to make a joke to the CEO that's like, yeah, give me a caramel frappuccino, no whip, like something. So it doesn't have to be money, but are there incentives that help get them status, that help them do what they want to do? And please, for the love of all things that are good and holy, don't make it a pizza party. Like, if comp is a pizza party, just forget the pizza party. Actually, sorry, this is a total tangent, but I actually recently heard about somebody that like, they brought in corn dogs as like a fun thing and they did like a fair thing. It was so dumb. So again, if you're thinking about how do I incentivize salespeople, think about it through this lens. Like, what are the actual incentives that drive people to want to be involved and motivated? And yes, it is likely money. But what I found is if you can show salespeople where they make their money, they will buy in. So this is a simple litmus test. If you've built sales activation playbooks that build the pipeline and you have targeted marketing programs that drive right fit accounts into your activation plays, and you still can't get aligned with sales, it is a problem that needs to be elevated to the executive leadership team that shifts how salespeople are incentivized. That is super hard, and that is the one thing that marketing truly cannot solve. I can't change sales comp plans. The only asterisk on that is potentially a spiff. Like, if you were to give spiffs for closing specific accounts, that's a bonus, but you're taking that out of your own budget. So it's a hard sell for marketers. So anyway, hopefully this was helpful. This was a lot more on the thought processes from sales perspective so that you can leave with some more empathy, have some scripts internally on how to actually start to get some buy-in around the approach to building sales activation playbooks so you can shift the narrative for your entire organization. If this is helpful, I've already referenced this a couple of times. This is a new series we are doing on a monthly basis. So we actually already have the next one set up. It's called The First Step to ABM is Activation, on how to take the first steps with ABM so it won't fail. We're doing this on March 19th, this exact same time, 11 a.m. Central or 12 Eastern. So again, if you liked this, you're like, okay, I'm bought in on the idea that I need to build some playbooks. How do I do it? Send this recording to other people. Send this webinar to your sales leadership, to your marketing leadership. Get them to join in. Hopefully it starts some conversations internally on how you can think a little bit differently. And again, if you're like, I really want to get this knocked out on my own, this masterclass is going to do everything, like give you everything that you would need to actually go build this on your own. So just go to usergems.com, and then under the resources tab, there's a Scrappy ABM masterclass. You can go check it out there. Again, if you've got more budget than time and you just need this knocked out, we're running this for the next 6 weeks. It's like, we are kicking all of these clients off in April. I should have mentioned we've only got 5 slots for this. So it's something you're interested in. We're only taking 5 clients to build out these playbooks. So this has to kick off in April, and it's a Q2 initiative for you guys to make sure that you've got all the playbooks you need to build that Q3 pipeline so you can end the year super, super well. Last but certainly not least, if you want to stay up to date on everything that we're doing from a content perspective, go check out the Scrappy ABM newsletter. You can find it on our website, or you can just scan this QR code right here. So that was everything that I had. It's a ton of information. My goal is that you get a ridiculous amount of content to make sure that you get through everything you need. So that said, there are already some questions in the chat, so I'm going to go ahead and answer some of these questions. If you've got other questions, I know there is a bit of a lag, so just go ahead and drop those in, and I will answer those as they come in. So Nicole asked a great question. What is the definition of qualified? And then I think this was in reference to specifically sales goals. So qualified opportunities that flow through the pipeline. This is one of the things that nobody wants to do, but I actually think it's super helpful to have a glossary of definitions where you can clearly say and define, this is what qualified means. Because these are, again, terms that many people use, and many people use differently. like ABM is a term that everyone uses a little bit differently. So like creating definitions for your organization on what these things mean is most important, because I think through qualified opportunity, this is right fit, ideal client profile. 3 months from now, we're doing a super, super deep dive specifically on how to create a real ICP that is based in your data. If you want that early, just shoot me a message. I'll send you the content right now. But essentially, it's just how do we actually try to go get more of our best fit customers, and best fit customers based in the top 20% of your current customer base from a profitability perspective, typically. I say typically because some of our favorite clients that are our best customers are not our most profitable. We just love working with them. And like, that's a decision that I get to make as a business owner. So those are that's the high level thought process. Is like, qualify would be a reflection of your current best fit. You want to get more of those as qualified opportunities. That's a great question. All right. Another great question. Marketing also needs to understand what the pipeline actually looks like. What are the steps of the pipeline? Yeah. If you don't have clear qualified stages of your pipeline, it's super hard to actually know what you're trying to accomplish. So again, if there are any other questions, go ahead and drop those in the chat. I do see a question that is just specific to why do some people keep sales structures or sales comp structures secret? In the past 6 weeks, I reviewed and revised 4 different sales comp plans. And I can tell you why is admittedly, it's a challenge on knowing the appropriate incentive structure for the customer acquisition side. So as you look at essentially what generates a highly profitable business, what most organizations are looking at, specifically if they're PE or VC backed, is the LTGP to CAC ratio or the payback period. So the more you pay a seller from a structure and a comp perspective, the higher that increases your CAC. And when you think about variable spends on the marketing side are ads typically. It's easy to cut ads. You don't have to talk to anybody. The other variable spend is typically on the sales compensation side, which makes it really, really difficult because you have to go talk to a team and say, hey, we're going to pay you less money. That doesn't typically go over super, super well. So they keep it a secret as they make those adjustments so that it's easier to make the adjustments as they're needed. So I've actually talked with quite a few salespeople where like they don't know functionally how they make their money, which is super hard as a result. So if you're in that kind of an organization, one, it's kind of a red flag, to be quite frank. But two, the other thing for context to look at is just simply, maybe you don't have the information, but you need to figure out how to help people understand that by working with you on this program, they would make X amount of money in some capacity. They just need to understand they are incentivized to do the work with you. Otherwise, they won't be incentivized to do the work with you. So that's what we're trying to get to. Another great question. Can I talk a little bit more about content creation? Is that something you customize to each of your clients' needs? Or more focus on general information? Does it depend on where they are in the pipeline? So general thought processes would be, we didn't touch on it in this session, but we have what we refer to as our account progression model. This was way more focused on the tactical components of how to generate pipeline, but the content should be focused on where the buyer is in their overall journey, which is a very nebulous way of saying, like, if they already know a ton about the problem, you should probably focus on product and solution-oriented content. You would see that based on their past engagement or their level of past engagement of just they're already all over your content. So there's that. And then as far as content creation types, this can look like 1,000 different things. I start first with like, what is the easiest kind of content for us to create? So for many people that's written. Personally, for me, it's video. Like I do way better on video and just creating content like this. So I focus first on creating a large volume of content that covers a span of topics. And then once you see what content resonates or the questions that you're getting on a frequent basis, you then would want to create that content in different mediums to then be more engaging for the buyers. Some people would think, oh, you should focus on medium first. But like, admittedly, my primary goal is to get the content created so that there is a way to consume it. It may not be the most ideal way for the buyer, but like, it is more ideal to have content that is able to be consumed than to focus on maybe a longer process for content creation that doesn't make it to where content can be consumed at all. So that is how I think through it. And then as far as customize each client's needs, yes, we customize content to each of our clients, core frameworks on what needs to be shared at every stage of the buyer's journey. And then additionally, the core differences that would come up would just be the different people involved in the sales cycle. So for some of our clients, the CFO is like super involved, or the CSO, or any number of other departments that are really involved, or like HR leadership. So those personas typically need different styles of content or different types of content. So you want to make sure that the content resonates with the people that are involved in the buying decision. But that's the level of customization. It's just overcoming objections typically in the sales pipeline. And then the other thing is the more objections you can overcome before they become objections, the easier it is to actually close the deal. This is another thing that I've stolen from Hormozy's, which would just be if you proactively bring up things that are past objections from past conversations, it's referred to as slaying zombies. It's like, you know, these are things that are going to come and try to kill you. It's like you just go ahead and kill them on the front end. And then all you have to do are answer objections that are like new or reiterate past things you've already talked through. So that makes it really easy to create content on that front. Just look at what people have previously talked about. That would be reasons to not move forward and create content on those things. Okay, I'm pretty sure I just talked for 55 minutes without taking a breath. So one, thank you for being here and engaging with a lot of really, really great questions. Again, what we will do is we'll actually follow up with every single person that was here and that was registered to one, get any further questions that we can help you with, to provide a ton of content. And then just see, again, as you're trying to solve for your alignment challenges, please like tell us what your challenges are and we'll try to make some content on it. Again, feel free to shoot us messages, questions, and if there's anything else we can be helpful on, thank you so much. Please subscribe to our newsletter and I really appreciate everybody being here. All right, thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.